and welcome to a special edition of the Watson and Warren Vanity Project, which this week replaces Kings of Anglia with Mark Heath on holiday. Just me and Stewie today. My friend, how are you?
I'm all right. We're not calling this Kings of Anglia.
This is the Watson and Warren Vanity Project today. Kings of Anglia sublet. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Let's go with that. I thought this was just Kings of Anglia minus one, but if we're rebranding.
No, so this is our vanity project, my friend. Mark, this week he is on his annual pilgrimage to the Peak District.
Yes.
Walking his dog and drinking beers. I think he's probably a happy man.
Good for
happy
him.
Happy man, that's his happy place,
nice.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It was also his birthday yesterday. Fixtures Day, which he might have mentioned.
Once or twice, yeah. Once or twice. Happy birthday, Gaffer, if you're listening.
And he probably is listening. A keen listener. Even when he's on the podcasts.
Yeah.
Which we all should do more often.
I don't listen to them back.
No, I can't listen to my own voice. I hate it.
Nobody can.
Yeah.
Not yours, their own.
Yeah. We've got a lot to talk about, haven't we?
We have.
I'm not going to ask you how your week off was, because I assume...
Don't care.
I'm not really that bothered. When we're not together, you're not bothered. But I hope you had a nice time. You're looking bronzed. We've got a few things to get through. We've got transfer news, mainly outs, and the fixtures. What should we hit first?
Should we start with what Mark Heath always refers to as the sexy stuff, which is transfers? That's what people care about, so let's start with that.
Okay. Well, we're sat here. This is Friday morning. We're not in our love bunker on secret location. It's on Norwich Road. We're not there today. We're in our old studio, which is a small office in reception of our building. And it's Friday morning, and we're waiting for Bartosz Białkowski and Ellis Harrison's departures from Ipswich Town to be confirmed. They could happen while we're in here. They could happen at 7 o'clock tonight once we've gone home.
It's normally the case. It's always late on a Friday. All transfers seem to happen late on a Friday. That's where they do it, just to bugger up our evenings and weekends. But... yeah, case of when not if now with those two, isn't it? Deal's agreed. Bart had his medical at Millwall last night, Thursday night. Ellis Harrison has been pictured down at Pompey's training ground, so that's pretty advanced. How do we feel about those two? Start with Bart?
Yeah, let's start with Bart. Obviously, five years here, four of them really, really good. Some of the best goalkeeping years that you'll remember as an Ipswich fan, I would imagine. He's certainly up there in the conversation with some of the club's best goalkeepers. But the fifth season, the final one, didn't go well for anybody, did it? Bart included, dropped twice, some big errors, and some tough moments for him.
Yeah, and I think there are circumstances behind that. I think there was an element of him being burnt out, both physically and mentally, off the back of the World Cup. I think he'd invested so much emotionally into getting there. You know, it was a big... He's made no secret. It was, you know, one of his last promises to his father before he passed away that he would pull on that shirt for Poland at some point. He finally did that. You know, he had all the contract stuff going on last summer as well, which would have been in the back of his mind. Finally signed that bumper new deal. Throw into the mix that Malcolm Webster, his kind of father figure within football, if you like, had retired. Someone who'd worked with at Southampton and again at Ipswich. And I think it perhaps all caught up with him a little bit last season. Throw into the mix that there was all so much change going on around him at Ipswich Town, and it wasn't happening on the pitch. Certainly didn't happen for him, but you're right. That's not his legacy at Ipswich Town. Let's park last season and let's remember him for the outstanding goalkeeper that he was. Without those saves and without that form, Ipswich could have been relegated sooner. He was that good.
Yeah, and that form took him to a World Cup. And Ipswich players don't go to World Cups very often. That's a special thing. He didn't play, sadly, but he did win a Poland cap and he did go to the World Cup in Russia. And that's both Ipswich World Cup representatives out of the building now, with Jonas Knudsen signing for Malmo in Sweden. So much change there. I'll remember the good stuff from Bart. I think you found some old highlights videos yesterday, didn't you, from that the club had put together. What seasons were they from? Were they from Mick's final season?
Possibly all the year before that, I can't remember, but I think the Forest game in particular, which was on telly, and there was some of those slow-mo goal line footage of him tipping onto the bar, and then the ball's coming down, and while he's still sort of falling onto his haunches, he claws the ball away. There's ones where he's making double, triple saves and clawing it back off the line. And that seemed to be sort of, we got a little bit blasé about that, didn't we? Those sort of saves were par for the course. They were week in, week out, and we got maybe a little bit sort of just nonchalant about the fact that that's what he did week in, week out. Big pole in the goal, such a popular figure, not just amongst his teammates, but amongst the fans as well. I've not seen Ipswich fans build such a relationship with a player as they have done with Bart in recent years. Always spoke so openly and honestly about how he loved Ipswich and how much his young family was settled in Ipswich. I tweeted yesterday about, I think he's the only player that's ever invited me over to his house to do an interview. You know, it was for the Kings of Anglia magazine, a bit more of a lifestyle piece, and you know, it was unrequested, but he said, yeah, just pop over to mine and we're going to do a few photos and stuff like that. And just really relaxed and just seems to be a really nice, grounded, humble guy. And so Ipswich are losing a good goalkeeper and a good person as well. But I think we're both in agreement that all good things come to an end, and perhaps the time is right, both for him and the club.
Yeah, I think so. 5 years is a long, these days is a long time for players to be at clubs, isn't it? And you have 5 good years. What, obviously it didn't end the way that he wanted, but he wants to play at as high a level as he possibly can to try and get back into that Poland squad. And I don't think anyone can begrudge him that. Can they? It suits Ipswich. He's the highest earner, even after wage cuts in the wake of relegation. They needed that money off of the books, not just a transfer fee, but also saving the wages. And hopefully that opens a few more doors for them to do some recruitment this summer. But for Bart, I don't think anyone can begrudge him wanting to move.
No, people will say, could he have got a better club than Millwall? That there's the potential for Millwall to get relegated and Ipswich to get promoted, and in a year's time, the two clubs have crossed paths. I think it's a good club for him to go to, Millwall. We'll see how it works out for him there. But, you know, sometimes a change of scenery is good for everyone. Ipswich have had the same two goalkeepers vying for the last five, six years now. You know, Gherkin came a year before Bart, have I got that right?
Yep. So Gherkin in 13, Bart in 14.
So for the first time in 6 years, we'll be having a new goalkeeper at Ipswich Town. And, you know, that is a long time in football these days. A change, a freshen up might be good for Ipswich. It might be good for Bart as well off the back of last year. In terms of the money that they've got for him, it's a fraction of what they were rejecting last summer. Three million,
I think.
£3 million when Birmingham were in for him. They're not going to be getting that. I think they started out with an asking price of £1.5 million this summer. And from what you're hearing, we're not convinced that they've got that.
Yeah, I don't think they'd have reached that. But then you factor in the wage, which, what are we saying, a good £500,000 in salary.
Yeah, so let's round up the figures. Say he was close to £20,000 a week with that pay rise last year. Say the wage reduction clause is 50%. He'd still be on £10,000 a week in League One. That's big money for League One. That equates to £500,000 over 12 months. So people get lost a little bit in the transfer fees sometimes and realise that is still £500,000, a big chunk of money that's going out. And let's not forget, they've signed Norwood on good wages for League One. You know, he has himself revealed that there was Championship offers on the table for him. So Ipswich have done well to get Norwood in. Alan Judge won't have come cheap. Just because that happened late last season, that's still a significant summer piece of business.
Yes. And they've renewed Luke Chambers' deal as well, which you would imagine that's not to give him 2 more years in League One. That's not, you know, he may not quite be on the money that Bart would have been on, but that's not a cheap League One contract either. So they have done that. They've done that business. A lot of money committed to salaries as well.
And without being disrespectful to goalkeepers, because I know these days you've got Liverpool and Man City spending, breaking transfer records, and we've seen what a big difference a top world-class goalkeeper can make. But when money is tight, and money, let's be realistic, Ipswich are going to be losing about 9 million quid with the drop in TV money and all the rest of it, you have to decide where you think that money is best spent. And I know goalkeeper, we've talked about how Bart may have kept Ipswich up, so it seems ridiculous to say that goalkeepers don't have a big role to play. Of course they do. But if you have to choose whether you want that money to go on a goal scorer or a goalkeeper, then I think, you know, if that decision has to be made, Ipswich have lacked goals, and goals is what Ipswich yeah. need, and what hopefully is going to get them back up. So that's probably the decision that Paul Lambert's had to make.
But ignoring the financial side of it, which is obviously hugely, hugely significant, if you take just the on-pitch side of it and put yourself in Paul Lambert's shoes, Paul Lambert hasn't managed Ipswich Town at a time where Bart was playing that level of football. If Lambert receives like an offer for a player that he hasn't seen at his peak, and he thinks he can reinvest that elsewhere, they've already brought in a new goalkeeper, of course, Thomas Hodin, probably another one to follow as well. But if he thinks they can do that business, then I think he has to go on what he's seen, doesn't he? And he's seen a Bart that wasn't at the level that we'd come to expect of him. So I think for Paul Lambert, he can only take what he's seen of him.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I think also there's an element of him just in general wanting to build his own squad now, put his own stamp on things. You know, it might not be a bad thing for a we didn't want the major turnover of last summer, because that was too much. But there also needs to be a bit of a freshening up, that you need to kind of, that sort of, the relegation stink that we keep referring to it as, some of that needs to clear, and some people, you know, just changing things up a little bit. And Bart going, someone who's been here such a long time, you've still got Chambers and Skews as being the sort of pillars of the club and of the team here, but just starting yep. to evolve the squad a little bit and give it a new look might not be a bad mm-hmm. thing.
So Thomas Holy, the giant Czech, who I cannot wait to stand next to. I'm really looking forward to that. Already in, and we gather that another senior keeper will be sought as well. You'd imagine there's probably going to be a kind of an open competition for the number one shirt. Which
back to what it was really in the early days of Bart signing, a genuine 50-50 fight for that goalkeeper's shirt. It's easy to forget that there was the proverbial fag paper yeah. between Bart and Dean Gherkin in the early days, and those two were kind of in and out depending on injuries or someone got their chance in the cup and then took the chance. And I think it will go back to that they'll sign another goalkeeper, and it will be, right, let's see who gets the shirt and who gets to keep it. Thomas Holy played 50-odd games for Gillingham in League One last year. I think there's still development and room for improvement there mm-hmm. in him, from what we gather from speaking to his former coaches and what Gillingham fans are saying. But you know, he has been there and done it in League One already, so there's a League One ready goalkeeper in the house. And yeah, I think that they need another, and Harry yeah. Wright will probably be deemed that it's best for him to go out and get some yeah. more games on loan.
Goalkeepers have to play, don't they? And you'd imagine that's why Gherkin's moved on, as much from his point of view as from the club's. I think that one he wants to play. It'd be interesting to see where he turns up. Millwall are looking for two goalkeepers this summer, just saying.
Reunited,
can you imagine it?
I don't think that would appeal to Dean Gherkin. I mean, he might, in one of his latter interviews he made a big point of saying that he's got a number of career games in mind that he wants to reach before he retires. And I get the feeling that he hasn't, you know, the last few years have been frustrating for him. I mean, imagine the life as a career backup goalkeeper. What a strange existence. You don't train with the bulk of your teammates every day. There's just two or three of you who go out and do a bit of sort of separate work to the rest of the lads. Then on a Saturday, you travel 500-mile round trip to basically sit on the bench and watch them, knowing that it's very unlikely you're going to play. That must be a strange existence. No matter how much you're getting paid, you train a week to play, don't you? And I think he would... I could see him wanting to get a number one slot at a lower level rather than getting a backup deal at a championship club. And he wouldn't be short of those sort of offers.
I've got some more stuff I want to say about goalkeepers, but just to break up the goalkeeper chat, can I just point out that you haven't quite rubbed in the sun cream that is on your ears?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was just a bit of a...
But well done you for protecting yourself.
What's my daughter doing that this morning? So,
pass the buck.
Good. Right, I've rubbed that in. Thank you.
Thomas Holy, just wanted to quickly talk about him. I think from what I've seen and been told about him, he ticks maybe a few of the boxes that Bart didn't quite tick. Bart, an exceptional shot stopper when he was on form. We know that. We've seen that. And you can't question the impact that he had. But if you're going to be hypercritical, for me, Bart's sort of domination of his box between the six-yard box and the penalty spot maybe was an area where he wasn't so great. And I don't think he quite suited what he was being asked to do at times, playing out from the back, and he's not alone in that. But by the sounds of things, very much Holy, which you would think at 6'9", that area is an area where he excels, which I think is positive, and he's working very hard on his kicking. So we will see about that one. But that was just something I wanted to say.
No, I think you're right about that with Bart. He's not the most vocal in terms of goalkeepers. Dean Gherkin, you'd always hear his big voice. Bart, perhaps not so much in that respect. So, we'll see if there's some different qualities brought to the table. It sounds interesting.
Mm. Should we move on to Ellis Harrison now?
Mm.
He was pictured, the back of him was pictured at Portsmouth yesterday, Thursday. And
we weren't sure when we first saw those pictures emerge whether that could have been anyone. It was the back of his head alongside a sort of a green fence. But we quickly made some phone calls and it became apparent that it's happening.
So. Well, first of all, it became apparent that was Portsmouth training ground. That was the first box ticked. And then from there, they've been after... Well, Kenny Jackett, by all accounts, has been keen on Ellis Harrison for years. So it looks like he's going to finally
They tried to sign him... When Ipswich signed him from Bristol Rovers, Ipswich beat them to his transfer then. I think they then came in late in January to see if they could do a loan deal midway through last season. And Ipswich, basically Lambert, I think, wanted all hands to the pump and couldn't really sort of sanction any departures. But I think it became clear to us as the season went on that, a bit like Caden Jackson, that he might not necessarily have been Paul Lambert's cup of tea. I know he had injuries, Ellis Harrison, both parts of the season, ankle first part, back injury second part, but there were chunks of the season where he was fit and ready and wasn't given the opportunities by Paul Lambert. He went out and got his own strikers in January in Quayner and Keane. I think that was the moment for me. I thought Harrison played really well. He'd come back prior to Christmas, scored that really good curled finish from the edge of the box against Sheffield United, and then the Millwall game on New Year's Day, I thought he led the line really well. That first half was exceptional, wasn't it? A very young Ipswich side that day. And then straight away he goes out and gets Quayner and Keane and Harrison's kind of down the pecking order, and then of course the back injury comes and that's that for the season, which was a shame because towards the back of the end of the season, had he been fit, he'd got his chance again with Keane and others sort of dropping like flies. But I think we're both of the opinion that this has the potential to come back and bite.
It's certainly got the potential. You have to be very sure about something to let somebody go to a club that you would imagine they will see as a promotion rival. You hope they do anyway. You have to be very sure about what you're going to do there to sanction that. Whether his replacement is already in the building in Norwood or not, or whether there's another one to come, sort of direct replacement wise, I don't know. But I think we'll own, as much as I agree with you in that I really liked what I saw of him. I did. I suppose there's there's a feeling that you have to wait to see how the who replaces him and how those replacements do, because say Norwood hits the ground running and keeps up this hot streak of his that he's clearly going to be coming in on, we won't give a second's thought to Ellis Harrison.
It goes back to your earlier point about Bart, that Paul Lambert can only go on what he's seen. And perhaps we're all a little bit guilty sometimes of players' ability being elevated when they're not in the team. You become a better player when you're not in the team, especially when the team is struggling in general. You kind of grasp onto the little glimpses of ability that you've seen from players in fits and starts. So it's hard, isn't it? Because Ellis Harrison, Ipswich Town are now in League One, and the one crumb of comfort was Ipswich, at least Paul Hurst has left us with a squad of players that have been there and done it and are proven in League One. And from the glimpses that we'd seen of Ellis Harrison, we hope that maybe the second season would be the year that he'd bed in at perhaps more of his natural level, inverted commas, and do it there. But if Paul Lambert is going to play with one up front, whether that be 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, whatever number you want to put on it, and Norwood's in the building and he's going to be that man, then, you know, perhaps, you know, if there's a decent offer on the table and they can recoup the bulk of that 750,000 of last summer, and he's got his own targets in mind, then, you know, that's the wheeling and dealing that he's got to do.
Yeah, let's judge this once all is said and done in the transfer market.
There'll be another striker, surely.
There's got to be now that Harrison. I think there would have been it anyway, but there's got to be, surely.
Because you've got now, what else have you got? You've got Caden Jackson, who I'm not convinced that Lambert is convinced by.
Right.
Lots of chances to play him and didn't take those last year. I wouldn't be amazed if he's another one move on.
Definitely.
As and when strikers come in the building. And Freddie Sears, as good a progress as he's making with that knee injury, is not going to be fully fit and firing till November, December time before we see the best of Freddie Sears again. So they need another striker, no doubt about it.
The obvious one to talk about at this point would be Will Keane, wouldn't it?
Yep.
I know they've kept in touch with Will Keane. They like him, clearly. I still don't know whether that's a risk worth taking. I don't know. He's clearly a very, very good player. Was that a risk you'd take? Would you? Depends what deal
you can
do.
At the back end of last season, I was of the opinion that it's too big a risk, and Ipswich have had their fingers burnt too many times when it's come to injury-prone players. We've had problems with McGoldrick, Bishop, Hughes. Some of those were unforeseen circumstances. Emma Hughes was given a 4-year deal on the back of a fairly patchy injury record. I just don't think Ipswich can be, with money being tighter, you can't afford to be having big chunks of your wage bill going on players who may not be fit. But on the flip side of that, Will Keane was a cut above the rest last season when he was fit. And, you know, as a player with pedigree, he was on Man United's books as a youngster and one of their better youngsters by all accounts. But he's had injuries wherever he's been. There's a reason that it didn't work out at Hull. Injuries. You know, it's not just been the one injury at Ipswich. It broke down again before the back end of last season. So it's a really tough one, because he could be an exceptional player in League One. He really could. And the thought of him and Norwood linking up, Norwood being the sort of the focal point, with Keane kind of dropping a bit deeper and being the playmaker, would be a really good prospect. But it's a big risk.
It depends what deal you can, how much you can protect yourself in any deal for me. If you can get that done at a deal that you're happy with, and happy knowing that you might not be getting X worth thousands of pounds worth of player every week because he'll miss some games here and there, then I would say do it, particularly as Norwood's already done. I'd feel more comfortable doing it now that they've already got Norwood.
Yeah.
If you were signing Keane to be, if you were penning everything on him from the off, that would be too much of a risk. But
yeah. And Will Keane has also, his hand is weakened a little bit now because of those injuries.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he'll have as many clubs falling over themselves. In a strange way, those injuries may have helped Ipswich get him, because if he'd have continued to play really well and been fit, then Championship clubs might have taken a risk. So Ipswich might be in a stronger position to offer a little bit more in terms of wages, and there might be a trade-off in terms of it's a one-year deal, it's a shorter-term deal, and if you do really well here, then you can use this as a springboard and just come here, you know the place, enjoy your football again, get yourself fit, score goals and see where that takes you.
Yeah.
There could be a deal to be done there.
My gut feeling on that one is that it might be one that's there for Ipswich to do closer to the start of the season. Mm. Obviously, they say it every summer, they want players in. Lambert wants them on the plane to Germany. It might be a case with Keane, maybe, that he's still without a club come end of July. You know what you're getting with Will Keane. You can turn to him. You're happy to turn to him at that point and bring him in. And then on the other hand, you want to oversee his pre-season, don't you?
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Connor Washington's the other one we've got to mention. Mm-hmm. He's someone that we know Ipswich have made inquiries about. Released by Sheffield United, someone who's risen up through the divisions and has been a Championship player in recent years. QPR moved to Sheffield United in January, was kind of a bit part player impact sub for them on their way to promotion. I get the feeling he'd be available for a League One club of Ipswich Town's stature. He'd be on, again, good wages, and perhaps some of these departures that we're talking about might just open up the door for someone like him. He strikes me as someone who's hungry to prove a few people wrong, whose career was on a real upward trajectory and has maybe stagnated a little bit in recent years. The times that I've seen him has generally been for Northern Ireland, and he's played wide left for them. He can play up front, although he's spoken about not really enjoying the lone striker role. I think he either likes to play in a two or in a wide striker role. So I could see him maybe playing in that left forward role, which might free up Alan Judge to play through that central role. His deficiencies, his weaknesses has maybe been his finishing. He's not quite clinical enough, but he works damn hard. He's got a good first touch, and he's got that little bit of fire in the belly. You know, I saw some of his quotes after the recent international break in terms of, if anyone was watching that performance, I'm out here and I'm ready to go again. So
I watched that game. He came on. It was in Estonia, at the Alakok Stadium in Estonia. Lovely beer. He was really, really good. Mm. He came on and won that game for them.
I wouldn't be adverse to that one. I know it's not Set Pulses Racing online, but I think for where Ipswich are at the moment, you know, he could tick a few boxes for Ipswich.
If that one got done, I could start to see something resembling the system that Tranmere played evolving there, which was kind of two. They played a few different systems during the season, but they played like sort of two deeper midfielders and three behind Norwood. So then you'd have, what would you have in that scenario? You'd have Norwood as the central, Washington left, Judge then as a 10, and Jack Lancaster as a wide right. And I like that.
Over Edwards?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But then, look, we know what wingers are. Wingers have great days and they have quiet days. But if you've got two,
and they're not all fit at the same time. No, we've seen that
definitely
before.
Not.
You know, in an ideal world, you want two players for every position. I've got the squad here in front of me. It was a bloated old squad towards the back end of last season. So we've now had, in terms of departures, if we're going to assume that Barton, Ellis have gone, we've got two goalkeepers gone, Gherkin and Bielkowski. Defensively, we've had Spence, Collins, Knudsen, Pennington, Bree, Elder, all out the exit door. Midfield, Adeyemi and Shalabar, who played virtually every game last year. Dawkins, Ward, Keane, Quayner. So that's quite a few, and all we've had come in so far is Holy and Norwood.
Don't forget Adam Shibek.
Yes, please. Well, I mean, he's been signed as an under-23 goalkeeper, really, hasn't he? So
Shibek.
You've been looking up how to pronounce that, haven't you?
Speedway knowledge, mate. If you've covered Speedway in Poland for as many long, arduous years as I did, you know how to pronounce Polish names.
Yeah.
Pretend you're making a P with your lips, but don't say it. And then say Shibek after it. Pshibek.
Pshibek.
Nailed it.
Thanks. Right. Do you want me to quickly run you through this squad?
Yes, please.
Right, Holy plus another in goal.
Yep.
Right backs, Emmanuel Danasian. Is that an area that needs strengthening, yes or no? Or do you go with those two?
Go with those two.
Okay. Enciala, Chambers, and then the two young lads, and Darber and Wolfenden. Those four to slug it out, or does that need a little bit more experience?
I think you need another defender.
Yeah.
In there.
Does that not block the progress of the homegrown lads, which they're talking so much about not doing?
I think Wolfenden's progress was greatly aided by playing 40 games, well, not quite 40, 30-odd games for Swindon in League 2 last season. Maybe Ndarba needs the same.
Yeah. That would bring in one and free him up for the same development.
But keep Wolfenden around, please.
Okay. And we've only really got Miles Kenlock as a left-back. Mm.
You need somebody, don't you? But I don't know what... It depends how sold he is on Miles Kenlock. I don't know if... Are you playing Miles Kenlock for 46 League One games next season?
Big ask, isn't it?
It's huge.
There were question marks over him for me towards the start of last season, but that run of games towards the back end of last season, I saw real growth and development in him, and I think he's done enough to earn his chance. But he needs some competition there, no doubt about it. Midfield, if we're talking about sort of the deeper midfield players, we've got Cole Skuse.
Yep.
Can he play 46 games again this year? Paul Lambert seemed to allude to he might not play every game. Same with him and Chambers, that they're not going to be the 46 game a season men now. Might see a few injuries starting to creep in. Flynn Downs, Andre Dizel and John Nolan, who is the midfielder that I am most looking forward to seeing how he can kick on, because in a disastrous season, I thought he was really starting to find his feet, and then back at League One level, I can see some goals in him.
No, I completely agree with that.
So you got four there, two young lads, two more senior lads. And then in the number 10 slot, if we're going to be talking about a 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, you've got Teddy, Elmizuni, who's still a little bit of a wild card at the moment.
Yeah.
Jack Lancaster could come inside if you wanted him to. Alan Judge... Depends whether we're going to see him in that central role. So we got a fair few options for that centre area of the pitch.
I think if you're trying to avoid like mass turnover, I'm not sure that you could really... Could Lambert go to Marcus Evans and say, I need more midfielders?
Not when the whole rhetoric at the moment from several Marcus Evans statements, from everything Paul Lambert is saying... We need to get back to producing from within and proving there's a pathway and not having loans block the progress of our own players. Who have they been linked to midfield-wise? You've had the lad from Motherwell.
He's now gone to Oxford.
He's gone to Oxford, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
Who was the one more recently? There was another midfielder that...
An Aussie.
Yeah.
Can't remember his name either.
But
Brandon something?
Do you need to be going out and signing that ilk of players to... block the progress of, say, Flynn Downs or Andre Dizel? I'm not convinced either of those are going to come in and play 40-plus games next year, but it's make or break for these guys now. We're not... That sounds extreme, but we're not talking about 17, 18-year-old lads anymore. We're talking about guys in their early 20s, and they need to really take things by the scruff of the neck a little bit more. Same with Teddy Bishop, really. So, central midfield, I'd be sort of going with what they've got. Is there someone that's really nasty, someone that's really physical, someone that's a real leader in there?
That's the midfielder that you need.
I'm completely convinced by that, but...
Yeah, that would be the one that you would think might need adding.
Mm.
But I'm not sure a Spanish midfielder from... Obviously, they're not going to sign him. He's gone to Oxford. But a Spanish midfielder from Motherwell didn't strike me as the leader, the gruff leader in there that you need. So yeah, I'd be surprised.
I hope Alan Judge can be that.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of stepping up and being that more vocal midfield captain type role. I mean, you made Jim Magilton comparisons with him, which I think was fair in a piece recently, that hopefully he can be the one leads through, perhaps not so much verbally, but leads through his actions in terms of everything goes through me, demanding the ball and being the focal point of the side. I hope that we see him centrally and we don't see him crowbarred out wide left, and that's why somebody like Washington would free that up, because at the moment, other than Alan Judge, you've got Danny Rowe and you've got Roberts as your options, and I'm not convinced. I could see convince them playing every week.
Well, they haven't convinced Lambert, have they? They were both out on loan, so.
And we've discussed strikers, and then we've got Edwards and Lancaster, two good wide right options there. So, and then one last wild card option, who I've not mentioned, is Mr. Emir Hughes.
He's in a box with a question mark and an exclamation mark on your bit of paper.
We can't be relying or building around him, but I mean, if he were to come back and be fit, that would be the proverbial like a new signing, wouldn't it? Right, that's enough squad chat. Enough transfer chat. Do you want to talk fixtures quickly? How are we doing for time?
35 minutes in. Okay. We've got some time. Let's chat fixtures. That was the excitement of Thursday morning, wasn't it? The schedule is out. We know where we're going to be every weekend.
We can plan our lives now for the next 9 months.
Yep. Are you happy about that?
Yeah.
Is your life looking good between... What, essentially
home
July.
On Boxing Day is always nice.
Yep.
No ridiculous midweek trips, really.
Yet, until the latter stages of any kind of Checker Trade Trophy.
That could all change, couldn't it? But no, I think they're all... the start looks a little bit tougher than I'd have liked on paper. And I know people will be going, come on, it's Ipswich Town in League One. We shouldn't be looking at any fixtures and worrying about them. But there's a losing habit ingrained in Ipswich Town at the moment. And we keep talking about how the start is going to really set the tone. And Burton away, Sunderland at home, and Peterborough away with a League Cup trip to Luton Town in between Sunderland and Peterborough could have been a little bit kinder, couldn't it?
Yes, it could be. They're through. Let's take just the league games, but they're three very tough games, aren't they?
Burton ninth last year. I've got a fairly settled squad, good manager, should be in the mix. Peterborough, just outside the playoffs, are always there or thereabouts in League One.
Sunderland at home.
And then Sunderland at home, title favourites. I mean, you can look at it two ways. Sometimes it's best to catch people early on. I mean, that will be a great atmosphere. It should be a really good crowd at Portman Road. And let's be confident about it, shall we? Instead of talking nervily about it, let's look at it on the flip side that, you know, if they do hit the ground running, then goodness me, that would really be liftoff, because then you're going into a run of fixtures with AFC Wimbledon at home, Bolton away, goodness knows what sort of state and how many players they'll have at that stage, Shrewsbury at home, Rochdale away, and then it starts to look a little bit more, without sounding disrespectful, League One-y as we go into September and October.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Then if you then flash forward to April and May, the home straight is relatively kind, isn't it? You've got how many? Is it five of the last eight at home? Four of the last six at home? You can't really ask for much more than that, can you, if you're hopefully looking to do something in those months. Mm. You can't ask for much more than that.
I think so, yeah. So we always knew that the fixtures coming out was going to be the sort of reality moment. We've already had the new kits come out with the League One badges on the sleeves. Now we're seeing that in black and white, the teams that they're playing. I think the Rochdale trip at the start of September is the moment for me. Again, without being too disrespectful to Rochdale, the fact of the matter is they are a club that historically has been a fourth tier club, only in more recent years have been a League One club. Ipswich Town, as we know, have been top two divisions for 61 years. So that will be a little moment, travelling to smaller grounds, smaller crowds. But we got to embrace the pressure, and I think Ipswich have really got to embrace the favourites tags, and I don't think we should be shying away from that and saying, well, let's just bed in first season, develop the youngsters, see how we go. No, we've been talking about budgets earlier, that this is going to be top-end budget for League One. They should be in the top six mix minimum, no excuses.
Ipswich Town have not gone into a season with that kind of level of expectation for quite some time, have they? Even after making the playoffs four or five years ago, the following season didn't have this kind of expectation of being there. Like you said, embrace it, enjoy it, be the big dog. don't default and like slide away from that and shy away. Be the big dog, go out and embrace it.
Yeah,
that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, well, here are the bookies' favourites at the moment, and the bookies are normally there or thereabouts, aren't they? They do get it wrong sometimes, but Ipswich were among the favourites for the drop last year, which raised a few eyebrows, and look how that panned out. So here's what the bookies are saying: Sunderland title favourites, Ipswich next, then we got Portsmouth, Peterborough, Rotherham, who I've got my concerns about them being good. You know, I think they're ones to watch because they know this division. I thought they put up a real good fight in terms of going down last year, and have got a good manager, I think, in Paul Warne. Lincoln, who have got real momentum. They've got a really they've got a really good fan base there. You talk about sort of the losing habit at Ipswich. Lincoln have got the winning habit, haven't they? So they're ones to watch. And then we're going to get into a mix of sort of Burton, Doncaster, MK Dons. And I think you can kind of draw a line there in terms of, I think that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams that I've mentioned there. And then below that, we're getting into probably more mid-table territory when we're mentioning teams like Oxford, Fleetwood, Coventry, who a bit of a wild card, done a bit of business so far this year, Blackpool, Bristol Rovers, and so on. But Ipswich have to be in that top bracket of teams there.
Yeah.
They have to be, don't they?
Yes. Yeah. Of course they do. No doubt. No doubt about it. Before we go on to talk about something else, you've got some fun and games prepared, haven't you, Stu? But we have to insert a message here from our overlords.
Okay.
This is a message about other podcasts that you can get from the company that brings us to you, Archant. So here's a little message. If you're into murder mystery, this one's for you.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.
There you go. If you want to listen to murder mystery podcasts, there's an Ipswich based kind of Suffolky podcast as well, if you want to listen to that. Don't listen to the Norwich one. It's probably not for you if you're listening to this one, I'll be honest. But yeah, enjoy. What's on your paper?
Do you want to play a little game?
Yes, please.
You know, we've been talking about smaller crowds and smaller grounds.
Yep.
I've got a little game prepared called... It's a higher or lower based game. Just realised I haven't got an actual name for it. I'll just riff now. It's called Higher or Lower Average Attendances Last Season.
Alistair Rattray, our musical critic. I don't think we're going to do mailbag today. So that is your one piece of music to critique, which I liked it, and I just want to be the first to say that.
Where shall we start? I'll give you an average attendance, so this isn't capacity of stadium, this is average attendance league, I believe.
Yep.
For teams that will be in League One next season, and you're going to tell me whether the next team is higher or lower. We'll start with Shrewsbury Town. Shrewsbury or Shrewsbury, Andy?
Didn't Paul Hurst give us a definitive answer on this? I've forgotten.
I can't remember.
I think he said Shrews.
Shrewsbury. Well, you would call them the Shrews.
Yeah. Did he say that?
Don't know.
I can't remember what he said.
I think a lot of the Paul Hurst time has kind of been put in a little box in the back of my mind.
His like pictures of him flash up on Twitter quite often. Now he's at Scunthorpe, and I smile when I see them, because it just seems like another universe where he was meant to be the Ipswich Town manager now.
And not that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago, but it seems like so long ago.
Yeah. Shrewsbury Town.
Yeah.
Well, before I give you the attendance, Shrewsbury Town now play at the New Meadow, formerly the Gay Meadow, and we must now refer to it as Montgomery Waters Meadow. How do you feel about that?
That sounds like it is an exclusive fishing lake owned by a man. I don't like it.
It's bottled water.
I've never had a bottle of Montgomery water. Montgomery Waters, though, it sounds like somewhere you'd take your little fishing boat out on the weekend. Just up to Montgomery waters for the weekend.
6,407. That's their average attendance, okay?
Yep.
Gillingham.
Priestfield. Don't like the press box at Priestfield because the desks are too high. I'm too short.
6,407. Higher or lower?
I'm going to say ever so slightly higher.
Bad start, my friend. 5,128.
Am I out now?
Or? No, we'll keep going because that would be a rubbish game. That would
be terrible. 5,600 and something. Okay, next.
Peterborough United.
That's higher. Straight in there. Higher.
Straight in there. London Road, 7,365. Ding.
Has
correct.
That got a sponsor? The Abax or something?
I don't know if it still is.
I won't be calling it that. No, it's London Road.
That's London Road. That's proper, isn't it? Oh, it's Western Homes. It's Western Homes. I think they've stolen that from Colchester.
I'm definitely not calling it that.
No. It's London Road. That got that 7-1 to avenge still, haven't we?
I didn't watch that game, but I'm aware that it happened.
Yeah. I think Tommy Smith came on and got sent off within about a minute. It was the most chaotic game ever. Two red cards, 7-1. They've played there since. That was 0-0, but still need to avenge that.
Yep.
Peterborough United, 7-3-6-5. Southend United, keeping it reasonably local. Higher or lower?
They haven't got a sponsorship on Roots Hall, have they? Are we still...
Not that I'm aware
good?
Of.
Because that's Roots Hall. Lower, I would like to say.
Correct.
Yes.
Marginally lower. 6,932.
My best Southend memory is when their kit was sponsored by Hi-Tech. Do you remember that brand that used to make like trainers and stuff?
Yeah.
When
if you had Hi-Tech trainers, you were ripe for bullying at school.
They're a bit too. They weren't outdoorsy, but they weren't Nike or Adidas either.
Yeah.
So you weren't.
They do you a Velcro trainer from memory.
Yeah, and you could probably have got them from Woolworths.
Yeah. With some pick and mix.
Yeah. I got some pick and mix yesterday when I had a little walk uptown, just so you know.
I miss Woolworths.
Yeah, me too.
RIP Woolworths. Southend United, 6,932. So we're going to go higher or lower. Blackpool last season. Now, this is a tough one because the... what's the word I'm looking
for? The Oystons.
No? Yeah, no, the stay away crowd.
Oh, yeah.
The...
Boycotters.
Boycott, there we go, we got there in the end. The boycotters ended that halfway through the season, second half of the season, with the Oystons finally outed. So what do you think their average was, Andy?
I don't think they ended that late and early enough to be higher than Southend, so I'm going to say lower, and I reckon they averaged about 5.
Great shout, 5,517.
Yes! Come on!
You're doing well here, you're on a hot streak.
Despite I should have been out after one.
That's a good point. But. So we'll go from Blackpool to Doncaster Rovers, the Keep Moat.
What is stadium. A Keep Moat?
A Keep Moat is in the olden days, around the outside of your castle.
Yeah.
You would you'd have your obviously your standard moat.
Yeah.
But if
we've all got them.
In Scotland they would call it a keep moat because that's where they would keep their iron brew cold.
Oh, what, with ice and that?
Yeah.
In there.
Just okay. Like, you know, at a party you have like a bucket full of water and ice.
What, and they're now
they would use their moat to do that.
And they're now sponsoring Doncaster Stadium.
I don't believe it's the Iron Brew Keep Moat. It's just the Keep Moat, according to my notes here.
Okay.
But that is a Keep Moat, yeah.
Okay.
So are they... who are we on
Blackpool.
Last? Blackpool. Are they higher or lower than 5,500, give or take?
I would say higher.
You're correct.
Yes.
It's 8,000.
8, really?
98. That's quite high
that
for
is quite high.
Wasn't
where does that stand that? In, like, the...
That's, you're getting into the top third now. You
okay.
are getting into the top third.
They'll go in there for that to pick up their iron brew. There's a good supermarket. There's a Morrison's just round the corner from there. They'll do you an iron brew or a cup draw if you're if you're into that.
We wanted to go, didn't we?
Did you watch it? Have you seen any of the
videos?
I haven't
watched it. I saw some of the Twitter stuff of John Barnes doing announcements over the supermarket PA.
John Barnes was our... So they did the draw in Morrison's in Colindale, North London.
Obviously.
Because apparently Morrison's are a keen stockist of Carabao. Very keen. They love it. But John Barnes was asked about how good it was to be doing the draw in Morrison's, and he said that football had become a bit elitist, and so doing the draw in a supermarket brought it back to the people.
Back to the people.
However, the people that were there to watch the draw had to stand behind the stage, and there was a big wall up with like Carabao sponsorship, so nobody could see
it. To keep the general public
away. So there was John Barnes, Ray Parlour, and I think it was David Prutton presenting it, just on there on the stage, and then you could tell there were a few people behind it who just couldn't see. So
I had some dealings with David Prutton during his time at Colchester United when I was reporting on them, and he's your rock and roll footballer, the long hair. He lived that sort of lifestyle as well. I don't think he'd have been comfortable in that situation.
No.
Obviously, he took the coinage, as they all did.
Yeah, they all did.
But deep down, I think they all left a little bit of their soul in Morrison's.
If I was either Carabao or Morrison's, I'd be really happy with the job that John Barnes did in particular.
Mm.
He sold it really, really well. He loves the Carabao.
Mm.
He loves Morrison's. And it's all going well for him. So there was an Ipswich fan there last night, apparently. When Ipswich got drawn out of the hat, you could just hear, "Yes!" shouted from behind the screen.
Good.
So fair play to you, whoever you were. If you're a listener, please let us know.
Yeah.
We'll go to the next draw, won't we? If Ipswich are in it.
Unless it's in, like, Thailand again.
We'll definitely go there.
Okay. Where are we at? I can't remember.
Doncaster. We just did keep...
How many more of these do you want to do?
Three more,
okay.
Yeah.
Bristol Rovers.
Love the Mem. You're not so keen on the Mem, are you?
Memorial Stadium. I like it. I don't love it as much as you do.
It's like
a little sort of a little rugby type ground.
I like it in the same way.
It's a long way to go.
In the same way that John Barnes views drawing balls out of a hat in Morrison's as taking football back to the people.
Mm.
That's how I feel about the Memorial Stadium.
Okay.
And they've definitely got lower than Doncaster's 8,000-odd, I would say.
It's quaint, it's nice, but it's still a good 3.5 hours away.
Yeah, that's the other side.
Higher or lower than 8,098?
Lower.
Wrong. 8,320.
Oh.
Sorry, mate.
Oh.
Couple more. Rotherham. At the Asil New York Stadium. Do you know why it's called the New York Stadium?
No. Is this a true story?
This is a true story. This is not like Keaton.
I'm not saying that. Was that not true?
Well, do your own research on that one. But
okay.
No, the piece of land that's built on the area of Rotherham is called New York. And also, I think the owner at the time had visions that it would suddenly open up some doors for... partnerships with some of the New York sporting franchises.
Okay, how's that going for them?
Didn't work out.
No,
didn't work out.
Not so much. The Yankees aren't kind of rushing over to Rotherham games, are they?
No.
Yeah.
But they probably didn't realise that the Chuckle Brothers came as part of the package.
That's true. That was our last trip to Rotherham, wasn't it? It was set a few days after.
R.I.P.
Paul.
Barry. R.I.P. Barry. Paul's still with us.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Paul's now living it up. If you follow Paul Chuckle on
Twitter,
he's out doing all the student uni parties and stuff.
Yeah.
He's having a great old time.
Good. Hopefully he'll be at the game this year.
Rotherham, higher or lower?
Fractionally higher.
It's more than fractionally higher. It's a little bit higher. It's 9,880. Best part of 10,000 people rocking up to Rotherham week in, week out. I'll give you one more.
Yeah.
Coventry City, who will not be playing at the Ricoh Arena next year. Ridiculously, will be going to St Andrews again. Poor old Coventry fans. Higher or lower than 9,880?
Lower.
It's higher, friend. They got 12,363 last year at the Rico. Goodness knows what they'll get at St Andrews.
Oh, we'll see. Can we take a little break here?
Because, if you like.
Because my laptop's about to run out of disk space for the recording.
Okay.
We'll be back in a moment. Right. We're back. I've freed up a small amount of disk space by emptying my recycle bin from my laptop. So we've got a few minutes just to wrap things up.
I think that game had probably run its course, hadn't it?
Do you have any other business, Stu?
No other business, unless you want to talk about any stadium names that grind your gears.
What kind of sponsorships have we got going on? We've got the Cherry Records Stadium, haven't we, down Wimbledon.
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
They also tried to call it the Fans Stadium.
That's absolute nonsense. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Like, I get the whole backstory with AFC Wimbledon and all that, but don't call your stadium the Fans Stadium.
It's a bit wet, isn't
yeah,
it?
Not having that.
Pathetic.
Anything else? Wham Stadium?
I'm all into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, love that. I was disappointed to learn that Wham was nothing to do with either George Michael or... at school, we used to have these little chewy bar things, 10p Wham bars.
Did they have the little fizzy bits in them? Yeah, I love those.
But it's nothing to do with that. They actually make Tupperware and plastic boxes.
Not so good.
So not so good, but...
Kassam Stadium, that is named after their former owner who basically funded the stadium. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure how fondly... remembered he is by the club, so...
But he did pay for it, so...
They haven't finished it, though, have they?
Pirelli Stadium?
I love that, because there aren't many links between Inter Milan and Burton Albion, but that is one.
Yeah. Do you know why that is called the Pirelli Stadium? Because it used to be a Pirelli factory, and they donated the land that the stadium is built on to the club. Oh, so they said, you can have the land as long as you name the stadium after
us. I think the last time I went there, I might have parked in the Pirelli factory, actually.
And you get a nice smell of the brewers. You get the smell of the brewery there when you turn up to Burton.
Do you know what else they make in Burton?
What?
Bovril.
Do they?
I think so, yeah.
You'll be in your element.
Yeah. Shrewsbury don't serve Bovril at their ground. They have the only ground I've ever encountered that serve a different variant. They call it the Big Beefy Drink.
Okay.
It's not as good.
That's what it says on the tin.
It's beefy. It's beef tea.
Yeah.
And I like it. Are there any more?
No. Let's go off and have some liquid beef and we'll join people again next time.
Well, before we go, I have to read a message.
Another one?
Yeah.
Another one?
Another one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Please, at the end of each episode, have the hope... Oh, okay. Start again.
Dear Andrew.
name of podcast, Kings of Anglia, is brought to you by Archer Podcasts. For all advertising and sponsorship inquiries, contact matt.withers@archant.co.uk, or a variant of this if you want to add a bit more wit.
Don't add that bit in.
Okay. No more wit.
That's matt.withers@archant.co.uk. He is now our podcast overlord, and we need to sell some sponsorship, otherwise you won't hear this nonsense anymore.
Please. Because we like doing this, so please sponsor us. But thank you for listening. Remember to follow us, rate us, message us, abuse us, but keep on listening to us.
See you at the keep, mate.